The story that Alex just read for us gives us an explanation for the variety of languages we find upon the earth. And in this reading that we read now from the book of Acts out of the second chapter, the day of Pentecost, the first day of Pentecost after it is that Jesus is raised from the dead, tells of how all languages can come to be understood again through the power of the Holy Spirit. So let us listen then for God's word to this no doubt familiar text, reading today from the Contemporary English Version. Let us listen for God's word to us now. On the day of Pentecost, all the Lord's followers were together in one place. Suddenly, there was a noise from heaven like the sound of a mighty wind. It filled the house where they were meeting. Then they saw what looked like fiery tongues moving in all directions, and a tongue came and settled on each person there. The Holy Spirit took control of everyone, and they began speaking whatever languages the Spirit let them speak. Many religious Jews from every country in the world were living in Jerusalem, and when they heard this noise, a crowd gathered. But they were surprised because they were hearing everything in their own languages. They were excited and amazed and said, "Don't all these who are speaking come from Galilee? Then why do we hear them speaking in our very own languages? Some of us are from Parthia, Media, and Elam. Others are from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya near Cyrene, Rome, Crete, and Arabia. Some of us were born Jews, and others of us have chosen to be Jews. Yet we all hear them using our own languages to tell the wonderful things God has done." Everyone was excited and confused. Some of them even kept asking each other, "What does all this mean?" Others made fun of the Lord's followers and said, "They are drunk." Peter stood with the 11 apostles and spoke in a loud and clear voice to the crowd. "Friends and everyone else living in Jerusalem, listen carefully to what I have to say. You are wrong to think that these people are drunk. After all, it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what God had the prophet Joel say. When the last days come, I will give my spirit to everyone. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men shall have dreams. In those days, I will give my spirit to my servants, both men and women, and they will prophesy. I will work miracles in the sky above and wonders on the earth below. There will be blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will turn dark, and the moon will be as red as blood before the great and wonderful day of the Lord appears. Then the Lord will save everyone who asks for his help." Here in the readings from God's holy word for this day, and to God's name be all glory and praise now and forever. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse our thoughts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may more perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Amen. I really love the way Barbara Brown Taylor helps us reflect on this familiar passage from Acts for Pentecost Sunday about the breath of God, the Holy Spirit. So I just want you to pay attention to your own breathing for a moment. Breathe with me. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in, I want to see you playing. Does nobody have pinwheels but me? Oh my gosh. Breathe out. You know, the Holy Spirit is so much fun. She's the fun part of God. She really is. Now, I'm sure she's a woman, and I'll tell you why. In the Old Testament, her name is Ruach. In the New Testament, her name is Pneuma, both feminine words. She's wild. She's out of control. She cannot be managed. And she's a lot of fun. And you don't always see what she's doing. I love the Spirit. And the way the Spirit moves in our midst in ways that we cannot see. Now, when Taylor talks about the air that we take in and push back out, she reminds us that the planet Earth is wrapped up in this great big protective veil of the atmosphere. And so what that does is it separates the air we breathe from that cold vacuum of outer space. So beneath the protective veil is all the air that's ever been, that ever was. There's no cosmic planet cleaning company that comes along every 100 years and just sucks out some of the air that was inside that protective veil and replaces it with something else. So the same ancient air keeps recirculating. Isn't that an amazing thought? If you think about that, same air keeps recirculating. So she suggests that every time we breathe air in, we might be breathing in stardust from the time of creation, or Brontosaurus breath. Yeah. Or the same air that Plato and Mozart, that Adolf Hitler, Barbara Bush, Mildred Berry breathed. We take air in, we use it, and we send it out. All of life connected by air through all of time. So Taylor further mentions that the wind of Pentecost coming directly from Jesus' last breath. We remember how he shouts out on the cross, Elohi, Elohi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? Imagine all the breath we breathe now being touched by those words. Touched by those words, that breath then being so pungent, so full of passion, so full of life, that it in some way crescendos, building and gaining strength over the next 50 days. Until it does become a wind that just bursts into that room where about 120 of Jesus' followers are still gathered. And before they can take cover, that mighty wind blows through the entire house. It strikes sparks that burst into flame above their heads and forces her way into their lungs so that every one of them is filled to the gills with God's own breath. And then the wind bursts right back out of their throats, pouring out in languages that none of them knew before that very moment. The noise is amazing. That's why I read from this translation, too. It makes it so much clearer what it is that happens. And there are people in Jerusalem because we come up to Jerusalem for the five festivals. The Jews come up to Jerusalem for the five festivals every year. And so there are Jews there from every known area of the world that have come up to Jerusalem for Pentecost. And they come leaning in the windows and wondering what it is that they hear pouring out, that they can hear their own language spoken while they're so far from home. And they stick their heads in, Parthians, expecting to see other Parthians in there, and Libyans look around for other Libyans, but instead what they see is really, frankly, a bunch of countrymen, a bunch of rubes, a bunch of hicks from Galilee that are speaking to them about God's mighty acts all in languages that they themselves can understand. And so we remember what happens that day, right? Before the day is over, they start out with 120. By the nightfall, 3,000 people have come to believe in the redemptive power of Jesus and are baptized. Shy people become bold. Scared people get gutsy. And lost people find a clear sense of direction. Disciples discover things within them, abilities within them, that they never knew they had, just as we spoke with our confirmands this morning, saying, we know you have gifts, and we hope you continue to discover them. Everyone, when they open their mouths up to speak, sound like Jesus. When they lay their hands upon someone who's sick, it's as if Jesus himself has just touched that person. There's no explanation for it. There's no explanation for it, except for that strange wind that they dare to inhale and breathe out. On the day of Pentecost, they suck in God's own breath, and they are changed by it. The Holy Spirit enters them, I would suggest to you, the same way the Holy Spirit enters into Mary, the mother of Jesus, and for the same reason. It is time for God to be born again. Not just in the body of Jesus, but in a whole body of believers who are going to receive that breath of life from their Lord and then pass it on, using their own bodies to distribute the gift. Bumblers breathing in the breath of God and boldly changing the history of the world. I must admit there was probably a time in my life when I would have read this story and found it a bit incredible. But as I continue to live under God's guidance, I see how it is that as human beings we get to the point where we really cannot say exactly what it is that happens to us. And so we say it in the next best thing we know how, in human language. And so it might sound as if it's not quite real. You know, you'll hear people talk about how there's no miracles in today's world. Have you ever heard that? Miracles don't happen today. They only happened in Bible times. Now, how do we really know that? That suggests that this day of Pentecost story then should have no meaning. No meaning for you and me. That we shouldn't smile even a Presbyterian church and toss balloons around and blow pinwheels and wave streamers. Miracles don't happen. Why? In today's world? Because we just might not use the same language to say something? Or is it that we think that God today is no longer free to move and be as God chooses? That God no longer has the power to blow through closed doors and set people's heads on fire with a fire that does not consume them? That God's old and tired and worn out. Just somebody nice to pray to, but with no special interest any longer in you and me. Now we know, right? We know that all that I just said is not true. Have we not felt the Holy Spirit in our own lives, rearranging things, opening things up, perhaps setting our heads on fire? If we're not sure that it's happened to us yet, because of course coincidence is God working anonymously, so we don't always know that that's an experience of God that we just had, but if we take the time to say, come Holy Spirit, at every moment we get, then we will be more able to recognize her when she does show up. The Holy Spirit's behavior is well known. The Spirit is in the business of giving people a sense of new beginnings. You know, sometimes we might get in a bad mood, or we might even get stuck in a trough of depression or in the same place for a long time, feeling like we're just moving bricks maybe from one pile to another, like the people did in Babel, at work or at home, in our sleep, just moving bricks without seeing any results. We might not even know if it's day or night. And then one night, as we're restless for sleep to come, we hear one bird sing. Now, why is a bird singing in the middle of the night? And suddenly we realize it's not the middle of the night, but close to the edge of morning. The bird chirps again, and something inside us softens. We take a deep breath for the first time in months. Something invisible shifts, and we relax into the moment. We call it getting a second wind, but it is an act of the Holy Spirit. The walls come tumbling down, giving us the sense of a new beginning. You know, last Saturday, when we gathered to remember Carol Agner and to lay her cremains to rest out in our cemetery, the entire time we're in the chapel, we could hear, as if it were in the same room, a cardinal singing, who did not stop until we were done at graveside. And Carol's daughter, Susan, told me, I didn't know this, that cardinals sing for the voice of the dead. She was sure that that was her mother singing during that whole time. The Spirit moves in ways that you and I might not even recognize. And the Holy Spirit, best of all, gives us a way back into relationships. You ever been estranged from somebody you really care about? Something's gone bad in your relationship. You don't know if he started or she started or you started it. What matters is that you're just not talking to each other anymore. And then you pick at that scab, because you gotta. I just want to tell you my side, Marcia, okay? I just want to tell you my side. Or writing letters that you're smart enough to put into the shredder before you put a forever stamp on them. Or you stick that email over into the drafts file until you got enough sense to hit delete instead of send. Now, nothing ever changes, does it? When we're holding on to hold hurts and to anger, nothing ever changes. And then suddenly one day, something says to us now, and we grab the phone, the person answers, and we begin to talk. Hearts open, the right words come out, a reunion begins. We can call it what you want. It is an act of the Holy Spirit. The walls come tumbling down, giving people a way back into relationship. The Holy Spirit is even in the business of transforming a whole group all at once. It's not limited to just you or me in relationship with each other. I worked with a group last year who had come together to hear some really difficult truths spoken and to make some significant choices. So I said to the person that called me up to recruit me to go moderate that session meeting, I said, got any ideas on how I'm going to deal with this issue with this particular session? And he said to me, you know what? Why don't you just lay out the problem and then just allow some time for silence? What a great idea. We did that. We laid the problem out, and then we let some silence stand. And then we breathed in, and we breathed out, and in, and out. And then after about 5 minutes, we prayed with each other. And then we began to lay out this complex problem between this particular pastor and her congregation. We laid it out, and it was really amazing to me how compelling and heart-filling and heart-renewing the conversation was in the room, because we'd given time for the Holy Spirit to come in beside us. And the decisions at the end of the evening were not anything I would have expected coming into that space. But with the silence, it was as if we let this fresh wind blow in among us, and it cleared out our heads and our hearts so we could listen. An act of the Holy Spirit, transforming a whole group at once, moving them to a different place than they might have been if they'd just come in and started talking. Because when we do that, often one voice is heard and others are not. Of course, we find the work of the Holy Spirit easier to spot as we practice. When we find words coming out of our mouths that our brain didn't even shape for us, or find ourselves suddenly reversing direction. You ever been in the middle of a conversation and then reverse the direction so that you no longer end up at the place you thought you were going to be when you entered in? Or we find ourselves driving down the street to fill somebody's tank up at the gas station. We don't really know if they're just scamming us or if they need gas or not, but it could be Jesus asking for that help. So anytime we take risks we did not think we had the courage to ask for or reach out to someone that we would prefer to ignore, we can be pretty sure at those moments we're taking part in the work of the Holy Spirit, breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. The Spirit to fill the world again. Breathe in. Do this with me. Breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. You feel that? You feel that air? It's the Holy Spirit. Either way, whatever we breathe out in takes a piece of us out when it leaves us. Moving in and out of our midst, binding us together through the songs we sing, the prayers we pray, the breath we share, the ways we are faithful, the community of worship, the children and youth we teach and love, the community of faith, hearts open to God. Thanks be to God. Breathe in. Breathe out. Be aware of the Spirit working within us with sighs too deep for words. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Amen.